We normally do the segment called Inside Your Mind, and I think you just said when you came in, you've just come off doing a course with people.
The first block of practitioner training, which is called The Power of Personal Change.
And this is to become an NLP practitioner, neuro-linguistic programming practitioner?
So it's a six-day block, and there's another 2 6-day blocks to go, one in June and one in August.
Okay, so you had a bunch of people come into town for that?
Yeah, we had a lovely time. Very, very skilled group. Very exciting.
Sorry, I just banged my microphone up out of the way. So, what do you want to bring us today? What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I thought we might talk about how to manage our emotional state.
Oh yeah,
because there's a lot of people, you know, suffering from stress and anxiety at the moment, and I thought it'd be good to think about how we create those states, because a lot of people think that they just happen, that they...
Someone's about to come in.
Come on us,
studio.
Rather than...
Yeah, come in, mate. What's happening? Yeah, you will be. We are on the air. Do you need... do you want to tell us something quickly?
Vehicle that's been charged out there. Do you know who owns it?
No, they'll be in a cafe downtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you're listening and your vehicle's charging outside the town hall, it's about to get blocked in. So, yeah, but you might have to wait for them just to turn up. Yeah. All right. Yeah, folks, so work happening. It might be the entrance to the town hall, I think. The car park next to the town hall. It's a bit wonky and hasn't been in need of fixing. So, yeah, if you know someone who might be charging their car right now, let them know.
Yeah, there's a big high up backing down there, so they might want to shift it.
All kinds of chaos, yeah.
Yeah. So I was saying that might want to talk about how we create our states, our emotional, mental states.
Because, we create them.
Yeah, we create them. Well, people think that it's something that's happening outside, but what happens is we perceive things from externally through our five senses, you know, what we see, hear, feel, taste and smell. And you have a whole lot of filters that block certain things out and generalise information and delete some more information. So we're only taking about 2% of what's available in our external environment. So like in this room, you've got sort of like it's a plethora of posters and colour.
It's a visual assault, isn't it?
So you just go, radio studio, you know, and the others just sort of sit in the background there. But if we had to focus on everything, we'd go mental. You know, I'm just looking at that poster over there, New Zealand's on Air. There's probably about 100 pictures on there, 50 pictures or something.
Yeah,
and each one's got a lot of detail in it, so I'd have to remember every little detail about all of those pictures. Well, that's not happening, is it? And then that's just one poster, and then there's hundreds of others around the place as well. So what we do is you just go, it's a poster, it says New Zealand on Air, New Zealand Music on NZ Radio, and then there's all these pictures, but we don't take it all in. And so what happens is, depending on what we take in, we create like a mental map of what's happening externally to us.
Yeah.
Which encompasses only about 2% of what's external to us. And because we've all got different backgrounds, cultures and ways of processing stuff, we can experience the same event completely differently. And so then the map that we make of whatever's happening outside of us is what changes our state. So it's not what's happening outside of us that changes our state. It's our interpretation of what's happening outside of us that causes our state.
So you and I could have two different, quite different interpretations of what this room is like.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we were interviewed afterwards by some researcher or something.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's happening all day. So we process it through various filters like language, memories, things called metaprograms, which I won't go into at the moment, time, space, all of these things, we all process it differently. And so we end up with a different map. So, you could go to the movies, for example, and watch a James Bond movie, for example, and then come out and start discussing it. And then you think, did we all go to the same movie? Because some people will be focusing on the clothes, for example. Other people might be focusing on the fast cars. Somebody else will be focusing on whatever weapons they use, and they won't pay as much attention to the rest. So when you start discussing it, it's like, did we all go to see the same movie or have we all seen a different movie?
I have heard that police witness reports diverge quite wildly.
Yeah.
And in fact, if they're exactly the same, that's calls for suspicion.
Yeah. So, and it's not like necessarily people are not telling the truth. It's just that they've filtered it all because to the 2% that they can cope with. So then it's our map, which is our, it's like it's our perception, if you like. So they'll say perception is not reality. So our perception of what's happening, that is what causes us to feel a certain way. So if we interpret something in a negative way, then we're probably not going to feel that good. And if we interpret something in a positive way, then we're going to feel better. But the point is that we have control over how we feel because we can always change our map.
Okay.
Because it's only our perception. It's not reality.
But if we're in a situation where someone's just, someone else has just wound us up, yeah. Let's say, we're probably not going to be able to change it instantly right then, are we?
Well, you see, that's an interesting language that you use there. So if somebody else has wound us up, that implies that you're like a puppet on a string and somebody else can wind you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, press your buttons is a modern thing, isn't it? Oh, you push my buttons, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, you know, you choose whether somebody pushes your button or not. It's up to you whether you allow that or not.
I guess what I was saying is in the moment might be too late to try to get out of that situation.
Well, we've got lots of different ways of changing it. So we can look at it rationally and going, okay, so what's happening here? So this person's done something. I'm choosing to, this is the thing, is I'm choosing to behave in this way as a result of that, or I'm choosing to feel this way as a result of that, rather than going, I'm in charge of my state. I choose how I'm going to feel. If I want to feel great, I'll feel great. If I feel, when I feel sad, I can feel sad. You can choose. Well, people don't realise this because they've been taught that it's caused by things outside of them.
Well, see, I can feel the pushback out there to what you're saying.
Yeah, that's fine.
The people will be saying, I'm not choosing to be angry. I'm not choosing to be sad. I'm not choosing to be upset.
And so if they're not, then who's choosing it? Who's choosing it? So they're then going, oh, it's this person's fault or it's that situation's fault or it's some other thing outside of them. But they'll be in any situation. Let's say you had 10 people in the same situation. Everybody will experience it completely differently.
Mm.
And there'll be some people, even if it's a terror situation, for example. There'll be some people that are really cool and calm-headed, and they'll be like, okay, this is what we need to do, and they seem really calm, and other people will be absolutely panicking, and it's the same situation. So at some point you have to realise that it's a choice. Now, how we make the choice, though, is we have, as I said, we thinking is made up of what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we taste, what we smell. And then we add self-talk to it, and that we put all that together and we call it thinking.
Mm.
But it's not just talking to yourself, it's all of those things. So we think in pictures, we think in sounds, we think in feelings, feelings and emotions. So feelings like what something feels like externally and what a feeling feels like sadness or happiness. Tastes and smells, we remember all these things, put them all together and call the result thinking because it's easy. But if people are making horror movies in the head with, you know, colour, fast moving and surround sound, then they're going to feel upset. Whereas another person might be thinking about something completely differently and feel completely calm. So it's not what's happening outside of us. And the idea that it is, it means that we can always blame somebody for how we feel rather than choosing a different way of feeling.
Well, sometimes it's nice to be able to blame someone, but it also, like, you become a victim of
everybody.
your own life.
yeah, that's right. You're a victim of everybody else because it's like somebody can just do something and you're like a puppet on a string just reacting.
I know there are times, like, and most people remember this, where they're just feeling really good and negative things can be happening around them and they don't even notice.
Yeah.
I remember when I mean, this is a really heavy thing, but when the terror attacks happened in Christchurch,
mm-hmm.
That was the same day that the kids were doing the climate strike. And I was on a real high about that because I thought that was a really good sign. Mm-hmm. And I actually read the headline saying that there was a terror attack in Christchurch and didn't even get into my brain because
mm.
I was so focused on this real positive, what I thought was a real positive thing happening.
Right, right.
And it wasn't until later in the day that I clocked that something serious had happened down there.
Right, right.
Then, of course, I paid attention to it.
Right.
And then I went downhill.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in England. I just got to England the day before to my parents and got up in the morning because I didn't sleep very well. I think I got a bit of jet lag and I got up about 6 o'clock in the morning. I thought I'll put the television on and see what the news is in England, you know, and the first thing was the news in New Zealand of what happened, you know.
That's pretty – New Zealand doesn't usually hit the headlines.
No,
exactly.
I was in a bit shocked and stunned, like, well, is this really happening? Because I didn't expect – the first thing was I'm in the right country because I was a bit tired, you know. I didn't expect to see – New Zealand and that particular thing on the news. So,
but that's the thing, like you're in such a different place that it doesn't really get in.
You're right, and that's the other thing is when we're in a good state, we perceive things differently.
Yeah, so who's right?
What do you mean? Well,
the person who's in a good state and or the person who's in a unhappy state, who's
it's a system. So if you're in a good state, like often people say, oh, you know, I had a fantastic holiday, you know, everybody where I went was really friendly and it was wonderful, you know, and it's because they're in a good state because they're on blinking holiday. So they're on holiday, everything, you know, they're not in a rush because they're on holiday. So they don't notice things that might have been going wrong if they weren't on holiday. And so they get different responses from people because they're in such a good mood. Mm. So because we're in systems with other people, like you and I are in a system and even the people who are listening are in the part of the system as well because they're listening. So what you do affects me, what I do affects you, but it's then a choice as to how I let it affect my state or not. And, you know, if people could realise this, then, you know, they would choose a different state. Why would you choose to be miserable if you could be happy?
What if you're a serial miserable person? How do you make a change? If you're someone who goes around noticing the negative stuff and being fairly miserable all the time, it can be...
Yeah, well...
You can't just go, oh, I'm going to snap out of that necessarily. Like, you might be in a bad mood, and how do you...
Well, it's interesting.
How do you get your day going, I guess, so that
well,
you have
moods
good day?
Are interesting because they say that you can only actually stay in a mood for 90 seconds. In fact, the latest I heard was that only about 30 seconds you can stay in a mood. So, you know, some people who are moody all the time, it's like that's their choice. They're choosing to do that. And what they usually do is they keep repeating negative things in the mind over and over again. So that's the only way you can do it because we naturally, you know, I'm using my handy. We naturally go up and down during the day depending what's happened. Sometimes it might be like really high and really low, and otherwise it might be just, you know, things that are happening during the day. And so then it's like, how do you get back to being the way you want to be as quickly as you can? Mm. So people who are moody, they are reinforcing whatever it is that they think's upset them. They have to keep doing that
so
to
this
keep,
is where
you,
we
keep, going, keep you in a mood.
We're going over things repeatedly in our minds.
Yeah. So it could be that they're going over an argument or they had an argument with a partner and then every time they look at them, they go, oh, yeah, that's right, he said this or she said that. And then they decide to stay in the mood. But it has to be perpetuated to keep it going. Otherwise, you just naturally come out of it. So people who seem to be terminally miserable... or always focusing on the bad. It's up to them. It's kind of like you can't change people. They can only change themselves. I mean, the course that I've just finished is called The Power of Personal Change because people are always trying to change everybody else. But when they change themselves, everybody else changes because they start behaving differently and the responses that they used to get from people no longer work. So the other people have to change as well. So the person who's terminally miserable, it's like that. What they're doing is focusing on everything negative. So I'd say go out and find something that's positive and then find another thing that's positive and another thing. So change what you're looking at and think about how that could be positive.
I think sometimes you get, well, I know I get like my mind can be a runaway train on something negative and it takes a little bit of effort to stop it. And to derail that runaway train, I might need to go and do something that really absorbs me.
Yeah, so really I often say attention. To people, you know, when they're in that kind of, the runaway train is quite a good analogy, actually, is to, there's a lot of things that can do. So first of all, they've got to stop that. So they could say stop,
you know,
and they could say it really loud so they actually hear it, not when you're a passenger in a car. Okay, so stop really loud if you can, if you're not around other people. If not, do it in your head, say stop. Then you can imagine a stop sign or a red traffic light or something, or you could, you know, like bang the table or something, just or click your fingers, something to kind of get you out of it. A really good one, it's quite painful, but it works really well.
Oh, yeah?
Is you get an elastic band and you put it around your left wrist, because when we're talking to ourselves, usually we're looking down into our left.
Oh, yeah.
And so what you do is you think those negative thoughts on purpose, and you pull the elastic band out when you're in the middle of the negative thinking and let it go, so it causes pain, right? So it's painful.
So, but you're in control of how much pain.
Yeah, well, you want it to be painful, so you do that two or three times, and the next time you start looking down there, then you go, oh, my God, that's painful, I don't want to do that, and that's enough to stop you doing it.
Right, it's self-controlled aversion therapy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I've got elastic bands in my drawer at home if anybody wants it, needs one. and so that's another one. And so then, once you've stopped it, then you can go, okay, is this actually true? Because people go, oh, you know, I'm useless. And you go, well, are you really useless? Well, no, actually, I've done quite a lot of good today. You know, maybe 98% of the day I've been good, I just made a mistake. Okay, well, that's how we learn, is by making mistakes. Or learning from others' mistakes, if possible. So then we can go, okay, so how do I want to feel? And so then it's kind of processing the information in a different way so that you feel good. So looking at things that inspire you rather than looking at the cracks in the pavement or complaining about, you know, there's another pothole there or whatever it is. You know, looking up will help you to access a different state. So if people look up to, you know, about, if you're sitting down, maybe about the height of the ceiling, where the ceiling meets the wall, focus on that and then expand your awareness out to the sides as you're still looking at the spot in front of you. What happens is your breathing changes, and then when you move your eyes back down to normal, it's like a new state. It's like a relaxed state, and it only takes 20 seconds. So that's one way. Going for a walk. So you physically move out of the place that you're in when you're doing this negative thinking and move to a different place.
So
even if you just walk around the dining room table, if it's wet like it is today, it's mainly moving yourself, you know. But if you can go out and look up and look at the trees and focus on what you see, not just going, oh, well, I'm miserable and now I'm outside, but like, oh, you know, look at the trees. Oh, there's the Raglan bus just going past, you know, and
because you can still
see the trees in the background. And
you can still go for a walk and have the runaway train going on in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially, what are you accessing when you're looking down?
So when you're looking down, you're accessing to your left, for most people, is self-talk, and to your right is kinesthetic, which is feelings and emotions.
So because I notice that like I'll be walking along and I think, no, I need to look up and look around and like take that in.
And so
I'm looking down, I'm like, that's when the runaway train could be happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're talking to ourselves, and if we're using negative language, then language has an impact on our body, and then we start feeling bad. And then we start telling ourselves how bad we feel. Or we carry on with whatever conversation we're having, like your runaway train. And then we feel worse. And it just goes down, down and down and down like a deep dark hole. And so when you change the self-talk, then that changes the feelings. When you change the feelings, that often changes the self-talk. And looking up, when we look up, we're accessing visually. So we not only do we speak more in a more upbeat way, because we're looking up, it causes us to speak faster and in a more upbeat way. See, if you think about somebody who's depressed, who's depressing themselves, they don't talk fast and they haven't got much of a modulation to their voice. It's like, it's very slow. I'm looking down and as soon as I look down, I talk slow.
Yes.
So looking up will give you access to more information. And then you're starting to look outside. And so then you start to feel better. And then you could go back to what you were doing before, but with a different state of mind. And when you attack something with a different state of mind, you usually resolve it really quickly. So, but it's really people's choice. This is the thing, is what I'm trying to get across is it's your choice how you feel. So if you're feeling miserable, figure out some ways to change it. Go to my website. There's loads of articles on there about how to change your state. There's another one through an NLP technique called anchoring.
Oh, we should say Inside Your Mind is the name of your website.
Yeah, insideyourmind.com.
Yeah.
Called anchoring. And there's you can actually go to the website and there's if you just put in confidence, I think it is, or something like that, there's a, I don't know, 2 or 3 minute audio that takes you through how to create a state by using a gesture. In this case, it's like pressing your thumb and middle finger together to create a resourceful state, as I call it, like a state of calm or relaxation or confidence. So when we're feeling confident, then, you know, things kind of bounce off us more. When we're not feeling confident, we tend to take them on and make them our own instead of going, this isn't a good thing, I don't feel good, how can I make myself feel better? So, and there's articles on there as well about, it sounds like we're in the middle of a war zone.
I know. I'm trying to really focus on the interview, and I'm like, there's smoke going past the window and machines starting up. Someone's doing something just beside the wall here beside us.
It sounds like it's on the other side of those cassettes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
it's like when you realise that you're creating your own state, how empowering is that? And all you have to do is change the thinking. I know it sounds easier than possibly it is, but that's because a lot of people have never tried it. Everything's hard until you try it.
I have tried it, and I've had varying degrees of success. Like, that's why I mentioned the runaway train. Sometimes I've gone so far, I've got so much momentum up that it's a challenge.
Right.
But other times, I notice that sometimes I'm just accidentally in a good place.
Right.
And then you're bouncier, smile more.
Right. Yeah. And so when you get that runaway, as soon as you notice it, that's the time to stop it.
Yeah, as soon as you notice.
And some people will go, oh, I'll wake up like that. And I go, no, you don't. You just wake up. You have to do something before you feel a certain way. When you just wake up, you just feel a certain way. You just feel, you know, that you've just woken up. I remember a guy that I saw, and he was a university lecturer, and he said to me, oh, I just woke up and I felt in a bad mood. And I went, no, you didn't. What did you do before you got out of bed to put you in a bad mood? And he goes, no. He said, I just woke up and I was in a bad mood. And I said, okay, so just take me through. So you're lying in bed and what, you open your eyes? And he goes, yeah. I said, and then what? And then he went, oh. And I went, what? He said, oh, then I looked at my wife. I went, okay.
Oh,
okay, so that, and then you thought something. And he goes, yeah. And then that put him in a bad mood. So, but that's his choice, to put himself in a bad mood. His wife was still asleep. She hadn't done anything. So it's like, if we're in control of our own emotions and our own feelings and our own state, why would you want to be in a bad mood anything less than feeling fantastic?
Yeah.
You know, if it's your choice. But, we've got this culture where it says that somebody else is to blame or some other thing is to blame, and so we never take responsibility for how we feel.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes it feels good to blame someone else. Like, it's a sense of relief. But like you said before, it's also empowering to say, no, I made that happen.
I'm in charge of my own life.
And I can make something else happen now.
Yeah. It's like being in charge of your own life, really.
Mm.
So I was looking at a short video of Ricky Gervais last night on YouTube. He's been interviewed by Sky Australia, I think it was, and 60 Minutes it was. It wasn't a 60 Minutes interview, though. It was only about 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he's basically, nobody can offend him, but basically he doesn't get offended by everything. He says that's the problem. Too many people get offended by others and they don't take responsibility for themselves, you know?
I think a lot of it's habit. I mean, I've spent 20 years focusing on news stuff, which is invariably negative, and wanting to work things out and analyze things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've built a lot of circuits in my brain for that.
Analyzing.
Looking for problems and trying to solve them. And of course, I can't solve the world's problems. I can't fix Ukraine.
No.
You know, I can't fix most of the things that are happening in the news. Mm. I can't even... Ukraine doesn't even know I exist.
Mm.
You know?
Mm. But you can fix yourself.
Yeah, so that's one of the... That's why I don't read the news anymore.
Right. I don't even watch the news. I haven't watched the news since February last year.
have you heard of COVID-19?
Yes.
Yeah, well, this is the... I know, it's a joke, because of course you hear about... The important stuff you hear about.
Yeah. Well, somebody tells me something if I need to know it.
Yeah. So
that's a really good way to feel depressed, is to watch the news and then start worrying about it all when you can't do anything about it. Or if you can do something about it, then do something about it and you'll feel better. But if you can't, then what the hell are you watching it for?
Well, we've been convinced that we need to be informed.
And we have.
We're a responsible... the Western world, that we're a responsible citizen if we know what's going on, and that we're ignorant if we don't watch it.
Right, but it's all propaganda anyway.
Well, there is that issue. There definitely is
an
issue.
We won't go there, though, shall we?
No. Well, that's why I spent the last 20 years going there.
Right.
So, hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Dave's here for the next interview. He's come in with brought a lot of noise in with him with that machine out there. So me here, I'm trying to avoid that now, because the show's supposed to be about Raglan, and I'd start off reading the news bulletin, and I always had to comment on it because I found it hard not to comment on the stuff that I thought was propagandary, and so that became my headspace to start the show, and I'm trying to do something different, because it's not what the show is supposed to be about anyway.
No.
And it's not what I want my life to be about anymore.
Well, you know, I think when I mentioned where I was on here before, I've nearly finished this course that I'm doing, which will be an online course called Minding Your Mind, and it's for people who are anxious and stressed, which is like 7 billion people at the moment.
Yeah.
And so I've put together a guide for people called I can't remember what it's called now, I did it such a long time ago, how to go from anxious to zen or something, which I can tell you about next time. Hopefully I'll have all the course finished and people can do it. And some of it is about, you know, one of the things is don't watch the news, or don't watch television, but at least don't watch the news, because there's nothing any positive on there. Or I think it used to be like the last minute there was something positive. But, you know, if that's all you watch, you'd never leave the house.
It's also presented in a way that doesn't give you a full enough understanding. So even if you want to do something about it, it's actually a bit of a confusing mishmash.
Yeah.
And that's my experience of like analysing the news for 20 years, basically. Yeah.
So you don't put that stuff in your head to start with, you know.
It's not even achieving what you think it's achieving, which is to make you well-informed, because that's not actually happening.
Well, it makes you feel fearful.
Yeah.
And that's not a good state
to
be in,
is it? Yeah, and then you get that, and then the rest of your life is affected by your fearful state, is what you've been saying this morning,
And then you've got more of a struggle to get out of it and put yourself into a good state.
Mm. Hey, look, Stephanie, it's been good to talk to you this morning.
And you.
Yes, despite all the racket going on around us.
Stop now, just when we finish the interview.
So maybe Dave asked him to stop for his interview before he came in.
It's a nice MacBook you got there, Dave.
Yeah. We're going to play some music. We're going to focus on some good stuff. We're going to focus on some local music and a little bit of that. But thanks for coming in. And people, remind people of your website.
It's insideyourmind.com.
And those things we've been talking about,
they're
if
all
you want
on
to
there.
Help to
There's
like
loads of articles on there and
slow that runaway train and put it in a different direction, or derail it completely.
Just do it.
All right. Thanks for coming in.